Well, thank you, Nigel and Emma. We're going to take communion together, so just pause the video for a moment and prepare for that. If you've got some bread or some wine or some juice or even crackers, then take communion with us. We can't be together in person, but we can be together in spirit as such, can't we? We can. So remember what the Lord said. It was a command. He said, you know, do this, partake of bread and wine in remembrance of me. And it's a symbol of his body that was broken, that's the bread, and his blood that was shed, that's the wine. So let's just pause for a moment and let's just reflect on that great command that he gave us so that we can remember what he's done for us. His salvation comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we take this bread as a symbol of your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we also thank you for your blood that was shed for each and every one of us, that we may have a personal relationship with you. Father, we do this in remembrance of what you've done for us. Thank you. Well, church, there is a lot to say this week, but I'll perhaps do another video next week and send it just as an update for notices. I want to tell you about Stephen. You may remember Stephen and Rachel came to church. Rachel sadly passed away this year. She was she died in a house fire. Tragic, tragic, tragic circumstances. Stephen was put into an institution, a mental health hospital. And I want to bring you an update on him and an update on Jeffrey and others that are being cared for. So I'll do a separate video for that. So today, as I was thinking and praying and mulling over what's happening around the world and in the United Kingdom and in your homes and in your hearts, it's an odd situation we find ourselves in, isn't it? Yes, it is. But the Bible does say, fear not. It does say that we are more than conquerors. The Bible does say that our fight, and it is a fight, isn't it? It's a wrestle. Is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And I just want to say to us as a church, and you as a Christian, so often we can forget that the spiritual realm is the realm that we don't see, but it's there. And because we don't see it, sometimes we don't pay attention to it. And sometimes when things happen in a spiritual sense, in a negative or a positive, we're not prepared. So I want to remind us of who we are, who God is, what he says to us, so that I can build you up, edify and encourage at a time like this. Now, I like to speak in front of people, and I have the privilege of being able to speak in front of you, even though I can't see you. So I want you to be blessed. Is that okay? Amen. Well, I want to read from 2 Kings 6. And when you look at this story, it's talking about the prophets. It was a place where Elijah and Elisha was, and then we have Elisha, and it's the company of prophets. And it says that they're growing because it says we need to expand the camp. So let's go and cut some more pools down. And as you look at it, you see the miracle of the axe head. Have you read that? Well, go and read it. Not right now, but when this message is over, read it in 2 Kings 6, and you'll get the idea that the God of miracles was at work, and he was active through the men that he'd called to speak on his behalf. And Elisha had a reputation of being a mighty man of God. Remember, he asked for a double portion. He got a double portion. He lived that double portion. As the axe head fell off the axe, went into the river, it floated, it retrieved. And then it goes on where there's a war. And whenever we talk about God's people, and the other people are the enemy, God's people are on the Lord's side, obviously. So I want to just go up from 2 Kings 6, start at verse 11. We're talking about the king of Aram here. He summoned his officials and demanded of them, tell me which one of us is on the side of the king of Israel. What was happening here? Every time Aram, the enemy of Israel, would try and plot and scheme and destroy God's people. The man of God and the men of God would send word to the king of Israel and tell him what was happening. And Aram was aware of this, and he wanted to know who it was in his camp that was betraying him. Now, there's a reason for me reading this story, and it's a good reason. So indulge me for a few moments while we read this together. In verse 12, "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officials, "but Elisha, the prophet who was in Israel, he tells the king everything that happens, even what's said in your bedroom. He knows the very thoughts of the king, and he tells the king of Israel what's happening. He warns him." So Aram turns around and he says, "Right, we're going to take this man down. Go and find where he is. We're going to surround him and we're going to take him down." Now just picture that for a moment. Just in this story here, if Elisha knew the very thoughts of the king, wouldn't he be aware of the plot against him? Yes, he would. And God is very gracious to me and you, because when we read his word, he already tells us up front what's going to happen. He already tells us that we have an enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion trying to destroy and devour. He already tells us that we have the arm of the Lord with us. He already tells us that there's a fight, a struggle. It's against powers and principalities. See, God already tells me and you. Yes, it's good to listen to people articulate God's truth. Yes, it's good to listen to people who are seasoned in God's word. But God has already told you and me through his word of revelation what's going to happen. It's the same thing here. God used Elisha to protect his people. 13, it says this, "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men to capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then, in verse 14, "He sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city." Now, imagine you've got the company of prophets who are asleep, and then you've got the enemy that's encamping. And listen to what happens. This is something that I want us to really grab hold of for our time today, where you are today. In verse 14, "He sent horses and chariots and a strong force there and went by night and surrounded the city." Verse 15, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army of horses, chariots had surrounded the city. And he says, 'Oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked." So just imagine you wake up after a good night's sleep and you open the curtains and you look outside and there's all your enemies surrounding you. Not just one or two, but thousands. They're surrounding you. You see, Elisha already knew what was happening. He already knew who his God was. He already knew the provisions that God had already sent. And this is what he said, verse 16, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." So when we look at the natural, without looking at the supernatural, we at times can feel that we're on our own, can't we? Yes, we can. We feel that's just me, myself and I. And in this time of lockdown and isolation where the government has asked us to be mindful and to protect ourselves, our loved ones, each other, to not be fearful, because as Christians we shouldn't be fearful, but we should be faithful. We should understand that God knows the number of our days, but it doesn't mean that we will be disrespectful to those around us. Point I'm making here is this. In that time of isolation, we can at times look out of our windows and all we can see is the enemy around us. We can switch on our TVs and all we see is the enemy around us. We can look at our bank balances. We can look at our mental health situation. We can look at circumstances that come our way. We can look at family members. We can look at trial and tribulation. And all we see is the enemy around us. Well, the word for us today, church, is, "Lord, open my eyes." Lord, open my eyes. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills were full of chariots of fire all around Elisha. All around Elisha, chariots of fire, angelic host. The Bible talks about angels, talks about demons. We don't seem to have a problem acknowledging that the demonic is active in our world today, do we? I don't think Christians, there aren't many Christians that will not acknowledge the demonic around them. But I think we struggle with the angelic. Yet God tells us that there's a heavenly host. He tells us, the Bible tells us that Jesus himself intercedes for me and you. There's a spiritual concept, isn't there, to what we do in the natural if we fail to be blind, if we fail to have our eyes opened and enable ourselves to be blinded by the enemy's tactics and not have our eyes open to see what God is already doing. See, God already knows. He's sent us his word, hasn't he? Yes, he has. So this is an encouraging word for me and you today. This Sunday morning, just remember, open your eyes. There is more with us than with them. God's on your side. Remember the story of David and Goliath. With David and Goliath, there was a giant of a man. But David, I believe, didn't see the size of the man, because all he could see was the size of his God. You see, David knew that there was more with him than with them. David wasn't relying on the king. He wasn't relying on Saul and the armies. He wasn't relying on his brothers. He wasn't relying on just his own ability. He was relying on the fact that he had a relationship, a personal relationship with God, the arm of the Lord. When he ran towards his enemy, he knew that God would deliver him. That's not arrogance. That's faithfulness. So for me and you, let's ask God to open our eyes this morning. Open our eyes this week to see the beauty and the wonder of creation. To see the beauty and the wonder of the angelic hosts that surround us. Remember in the story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when they were put into the fiery furnace, there wasn't three, there was four. Three in the natural and one in the supernatural. The Bible says that when we entertain strangers, we could be entertaining angels. So be hospitable, be kind and compassionate and full of truth. See, the angelic is all around us. The supernatural is all around us. We just need to ask God afresh, I believe, to open our eyes. Hope you'll be encouraged with this. Let's just look through one or two scriptures. When we're talking about God's people, it's God's people, you included, me included. In Genesis 15, starting at verse 1, do not be afraid, Abram. Do not be afraid. I am your shield. This is God talking to Abram here. Do not be afraid. I am your shield. What do we use a shield for? To protect us. When the New Testament gives us the armor of God, it's a shield of faith, isn't it? So we need to ask God to open our eyes. We need to have the faith to see what God is showing us. I am your shield. And I want to remind us today that God is our shield. He's our shield. In these unprecedented times in my lifetime, in some of the older generation that we have within church, you can remember conflicts that you and your parents and your grandparents were part of. I can't. I was blessed. I wasn't part of that war situation. My father was and my grandfather was. But I've been blessed to be born in peace times. But God is your shield. God is my shield. We need to know that we're in a spiritual battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord. He's given us everything we want. Just as Elisha whispered in the ear of the king, the Spirit of God whispers in the ear of us, his people. He's already given us the answers, the tactics of the enemy. just allow yourself to read his word. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7 is where I want to start. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Courage is something that at times we need to manifest, isn't it? Be strong and courageous. And it's easy to say those words, isn't it? Sometimes we can be fearful, but we shouldn't be full of fear. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of a sound mind and of power. We need to be reminded of that. Remember what we spoke about the body ministry? With the body ministry, it doesn't matter if you're a big toe or you're an elbow, you're an eye or you're a mouth or you're an ear or you're an arm or you're a fist. We're all part of that same body. So God's given us power. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and his vast army with him. Be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Are you discouraged? We can take these words in 2 Chronicles and we can apply them to our lives today. Let's be courageous, full of courage. Yeah, but I don't feel very. It's not about what we feel, is it? About what God says about us. So let's stand on his word and say, Lord, strengthen me. Lord, fill me. Lord, open my eyes that I may see the angelic host around me. Lord, open my eyes that I may see the tactics of the enemy. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may know that the battle belongs to you. Open my eyes, Lord, that I know that you're interceding for me, that you're protecting me, you're guiding me, you're enabling me. You know the steps that you've ordained for me. Lord, help me to see what you've already ordained for me. I've been predestined to be like you. Be courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria. That's the enemy. Don't be discouraged because of the enemy. The enemy is the evil one, Satan and his demonic host. Don't be discouraged because of him. Be encouraged because God is with you. Listen to what it says here. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh. With the enemy is only the arm of flesh. All the enemy can do is use the flesh. He can speak. He can do the demonic things using other people. It's fleshliness. It's the world we live around us. God's given us eyes that we can see what's coming. He only has the arm of flesh. Listen to what it says. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. They gained confidence. So my aim today, this morning, is to give confidence to us, his people. Just to simply say, with the enemy, he only has the arm of flesh. But with us, we have the arm of the Lord. The Lord our God. And it goes on to say, who help us to fight our battles. See, God doesn't leave us or forsake us. He didn't leave us as orphans, does he? He adopts us into his family, so we are not on our own. So if you are a single individual at home on your own today, you are not at home on your own today. Let me explain. If God is with us, then he's with you. If the Spirit of God lives within us, he lives within you. So you can open your windows, you can open your curtains afresh, and when you look out, ask God to show you that he's with you. Ask him to show you that he's there. And the people gained confidence from what the king of Judah said. Be confident, church. Gain confidence from this word today. This is just an array of scripture that's there to edify, build up, to correct and direct. Because there are times that we are so full of fear that we don't see the faithfulness of God. So let's drive out that fear by allowing the faithfulness to come in. Remember, our prayer this week can be your prayer too. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. In 2 Samuel 22, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. In whom I take refuge. We have to take refuge under the wings of the Lord Almighty. He's there to protect us and to enable us. My shield, my horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my saviour. This is worth reading again. As we look through scripture, we can just be simplistic in what we read. We can just go, yeah, yeah, that's nice. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. He said, Lord, you know, you're my rock. But allow God to open your eyes and see what it says. The Lord is my rock. Not just your rock, but he's my rock, my fortress. What's a fortress? It's something that's fortified, that I'm protected and safe on the inside. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Deliver me at the hands of my enemies is what that means. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. I take refuge in you, Lord. You are my rock. My God, my shield, the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and he's my saviour. Let God open your eyes this morning. He's your God, your shield, your saviour, your deliverer. Amen? Amen. It's okay to be excited about God's word. In Romans 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now the present tense, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. When we open our eyes, when God opens our eyes afresh, we will see that sin has been dealt with on the cross. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's you and that's me. If Jesus is your Saviour, your personal Saviour and your Lord, this word is for you today. If he isn't, this word is for you today. It's universal. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. We need to ask God to open our eyes that we can see the truth of what his word says about us. The enemy tries to heap lies upon us, to tell us that we are sinners. Do we sin? Yes. Are we full of sin? No. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives within us, convicts us, convinces us to clean ourselves on a daily basis. Remember what the psalmist said? Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Well, that's the prayer of our prayer, should I say, as well. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. If we keep our eyes closed, all we'll see is sin. All we'll see is darkness. Just do it. When you close your eyes, all you see is darkness. Doesn't matter how light it is outside. All you can see is darkness because your eyes are closed. But when we ask God to open our eyes, all we can see is light. Now, if that light is darkness, it's no light at all. What do I mean by that? Sounds confusing. But if all we see is the darkness that the world has to offer, then that light will become darkness and consume us. But if we see the light of the love of the Lord, then what's even dark when we open our eyes will become light. Sounds confusing, but just think about it for a moment. Close your eyes, all you see is darkness. Open your eyes. If you only see with the natural, all you can see is darkness. All you can see is doom and gloom. All you can do is say, woe is me, and double woe. But if you ask God to open your eyes to the spiritual things in the spiritual realms and the things that are going on around you that God has already predestined for you to be part of, then even though it looks as if it's dark, it's actually light. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is illuminated. Ask God to open your eyes afresh. I hope this isn't confusing, but it makes sense. So read it again. Go over it again. Listen to it again. Close your eyes, all you see is darkness. Open them, you can see light. But if you're only looking with the natural, then the light that you see will be darkness. If you look in the spiritual, then the light that you see will be illuminated to you and it will cause you to not be discouraged. You will know that he that was in you is greater than he that is in the Lord. You will know that when you look out around you, there is more of those with us than there are with them. We're on the Lord's side. Amen? Amen. Amen. In Psalm 37, verse 1, do not fret, it says. I like it when I read this. Now, looked at other translatings and translations, and fret seems to be quite a good translation here. Do not fret because of those who are evil. Now, when we think about fret, it conjures up lots of different things, doesn't it? It's like you're anxious and you're uncomfortable and you're not sure and you're a bit fearful. To fret, in the English, when you look at that, it's all those things mixed up together. You stop fretting. So listen to what the psalmist says. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the green plants, they will soon die away. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Don't fret. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Open your eyes. See what God has already done. Open your eyes. See what God is doing. Open your eyes. Open your heart. Do not be discouraged. Do not be envious of those that seem to be doing wrong and receiving the right thing. Remember, as we trust in the Lord and we do good and we dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Like the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in still pastures. That's what God does when he opens our eyes. See, when the blind leads the blind, the Bible says, they both fall into a pit. So when a blind sheep leads a blind sheep, both sheep will be perished. They will perish. But when a sheep that has its eyes open is led into pasture, the other sheep will follow that sheep and also be led into pasture. So for us, as we trust in the Lord and we do good, we do the right thing, we will dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. God wants to feed us and enable us. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. In Hebrews 1, verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? It's worth reading that again, isn't it? New Testament, Hebrews 1, verse 14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Who are those that will inherit salvation? Let me think. Do you and me? Are not all angels ministering spirits? The Bible tells us that there are ministering spirits. They're there to serve those who inherit salvation. You're not on your own. There are more with us than with those. There are more with us than with those. Lift up your head, Christian. See what God has for you. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see you. Final scripture today, and I'll leave you with this. Psalm 91, start at verse 11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample on the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Do you acknowledge his name? Good. Talking to you then. Verse 15. He will call on me, and I will answer him. Are you going to call on him today? Lord, open my eyes. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Salvation, nothing broken, nothing missing. Let's finish our service today with with prayer. Let's pray together. Remember, you're not on your own. Let's pray together. This is my prayer for me, and I want it to be a prayer for you. Remember what it means to say amen. So if this is your prayer too, say amen. Yes, Lord, I agree. Let it be. Father God, we thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd and you will lead us and guide us into green pastures. Lord, we thank you that we're not on our own. We thank you that we have a heavenly host of the angelic around us to guide us, protect us, correct us, and enable us to be all that you've called us to be. Father, we thank you that you've not left us as orphans, but you've already adopted us into your family. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the answers to all life's questions through your written word. Father God, my prayer this morning is that you will open my eyes spiritually, that I may see you at work. Father God, today I acknowledge that I belong to you. Lord, today will you open my eyes afresh, that I may see you. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all his people said, amen.